Hello and welcome to East Valley News. I'm your volunteer reader, Dan Kaplan, and today we're focusing on news from the towns of Mesa and Apache Junction. Our first story, Mesa residents feel hope, skepticism, as plan for long vacant land takes shape. Maria Mancinas has waited more than 30 years to see a 25-acre vacant lot along University and Mesa Drives called Site 17 be developed. She was one of more than 50 attendees at a neighborhood meeting on June 25 with Cul-de-Sac, the developer the city selected to transform the area. In the 1990s, the city bulldozed some 60 houses in a largely Hispanic neighborhood to make way for an entertainment district that never came. It spent millions to take ownership of the land, and over the past two decades, it sat untouched. I think it's about time we get serious about this project, Mancinas said. She said she was skeptical about the project's proposed timeline, but held hope she'd be able one day to celebrate even the baby steps. In September, the council approved a deal with Cul-de-Sac that will bring 1,000 townhomes and apartments along with ample commercial space in a project that would promote walkability and discourage car use. Phase 1 would bring the first for-sale product in 40 years, and is expected to begin in 2027. Now Cul-de-Sac is hosting the neighborhood meetings before it goes back to the city council to request a zoning change. Most of the more than three dozen residents in attendance were hearing the Cul-de-Sac plan for the first time. Some were skeptical it would come together, while others were excited to see what would be developed there. Jeff Peters was one of those residents in attendance. He felt optimistic and was happy to see someone step in and take over the vacant land after so many years. He called Site 17 a scar on the landscape that made downtown look incomplete. One of his priorities was for the development to blend with the community. Is it going to be the shiny object, or is it going to complete the neighborhood? Peters said. Meanwhile, other residents questioned how the Cul-de-Sac could honor the Hispanic neighborhood that once existed there. Augustine Gastelum, a downtown resident and advocate, supported the company's investment into the district but held reservations. He has followed Site 17 for many years and recalled the early community engagement with the city. There's a certain level of respect that has to be part of the process, which is why it's been difficult to develop, right? Because there's a lot of emotions tied to it, he said. He reiterated the community's previous demands to include affordable housing within the development to atone for kicking the previous residents out. During negotiations, Cul-de-Sac had stated affordable housing was a non-starter without a subsidy from the city. In the end, the final agreement didn't stipulate any requirements. The residents, the taxpayers, own this land, Gastelum said. He said they had the opportunity to include some affordable options for the people who grew up or live in the surrounding area. Some residents pushed for Cul-de-Sac to make the planning material available in Spanish for the Hispanic neighbors and to push for community engagement with the historic downtown neighborhoods. Cul-de-Sac developers will request a zoning plan modeled after the former Fiesta Mall site. Currently, the land is zoned as Downtown Core, an infill development plan zoning which has rarely been used by the developers in the city, will give Cul-de-Sac the flexibility it needs to build out the lot, said James Grafe, the company's chief of staff. We basically create our own zoning code with that infill incentive plan, Grafe said. He said the plan would allow Cul-de-Sac to make changes to the plan at an administrative level rather than going back to the city council in the future. Cul-de-Sac Mesa is expected to be built in three phases, with full build-out estimated in 2034. Bringing people together is a core pillar for the company, as well as transportation freedom and helping a thriving local businesses, he said. And that story was Mesa residents feel hope, skepticism, as plan for long vacant land takes shape. The next story, Apache Junction Council approves $22,000 GPEC contract renewal. The city of Apache Junction is paying $22,004, up from $20,392 last year, to the Greater Phoenix Economic Council for Economic Development Services in fiscal year 2026 to 27. The Apache Junction City Council voted unanimously July 8 to approve a consent agenda including the contract and also reappointed Councilmember Bambi Johnson as the city's representative to the GPEC Board of Directors. Apache Junction and 21 other communities and counties contract with GPEC on an annual basis to receive regional economic development services. The city has contracted with GPEC for 18 years, Economic Development Director Ryan Kaup told council during a June 15 work session. The annual contract amount is based on a per capita rate of about 49 cents per person, which is just over $22,000, he said. The rate is what all communities and counties are charged for GPEC services, GPEC President and CEO Christine McKay told the council. We have not raised our rates since 2017, she said. The increase that you see is simply because the population for Apache Junction has increased. McKay said she was surprised during a visit to Apache Junction on how much growth there has been in the area. I hadn't been to Apache Junction other than to come to a couple restaurants that are out here. I hadn't been out here looking at it with a business lens until Director Kaup invited me out to meet with the city manager and others, and we did a brief presentation on what was important to Apache Junction, she said to the council. I was stunned at where Apache Junction is moving toward and all of the opportunities that are available and what you as a mayor and council have done in this beautiful community. GPEC will be landing economic development opportunities for Apache Junction soon, McKay told the council. We're definitely getting Apache Junction its very own locales in the very near future with your great land availability, your state land availability, and industrial space that's here and available, she said. That story was Apache Junction Council approves $22,000 GPEC contract renewal. The next story, Good Eats, Western Kitsch, were a recipe for success at Bill Johnson's Big Apple. Back in the day, Bill Johnson's Big Apple beckoned many a hungry diner with its neon sign, Let's Eat. For almost 60 years, it offered a kitschy Western motif, smoky, slightly sweet barbecue, and juicy deep-dish apple pie with a scoop of vanilla ice cream. At its height, the restaurant had 7 locations, including in Phoenix, Mesa, and Goodyear. Gene Johnson created the original barbecue recipes in the 1930s. Walt Disney once invited her to share her recipes at his new California amusement park called Disneyland, but Gene had other ideas. Gene and her husband Bill moved to Arizona in 1956 and opened their first restaurant at 3757 East Van Buren Street in Phoenix. It's where the pavement ends and the west begins, Bill would say, as the location at 37th Street and Van Buren Streets was on the outskirts of Phoenix at the time. Big Apple got its name from a Western dance in the Rodgers and Hammerstein musical Oklahoma. Servers wore Old West toy revolvers and sheriff's badges. Sawdust covered the floors. Miniature-covered wagons served as table lamps. Wagon wheels were turned into chandeliers, and Western photos and wanted posters hung on the walls. Bill Johnson hosted a radio show from the original Phoenix restaurant. In its later years, Big Apple suffered financial troubles and filed for bankruptcy, eventually closing all of its locations in 2015. The barbecue lives on, though. Company owner and chef Rick Johnson now sells his grandmother's sauces online. And that story was Good Eats, Western Kitsch, were a recipe for success at Bill Johnson's Big Apple. The next story, where to find cheap gas in Apache Junction and Gold Canyon. Weeks of sliding gas prices nationwide have concluded as the future of the ceasefire between the U.S. and Iran remains uncertain, according to a spokesman with AAA. But in Arizona, the average for a gallon of regular gasoline is down 7 cents from the week of July 2, AAA stated in a news release. Nationwide, the average was $3.85 per gallon for 87 octane on July 9, up 5 cents in the previous 24 hours. Crude oil prices are currently in the $70 per barrel range, which is up slightly from last week, Aldo Vasquez, spokesperson for AAA Mountain West Group, stated in a release. Easing tensions along the Strait of Hormuz led to weeks of price dips, but renewed conflict may cause continued pain at the pump. According to GasBuddy.com, the cheapest gas in Apache Junction and Gold Canyon is $3.29 at Marathon and Shell, $15.71 West Apache Trail in Apache Junction, $3.39 at Arco and AMPM, $7.45 South Ironwood Drive in Apache Junction, $3.59 at Sunoco, $4.20 North Apache Trail in Apache Junction, $3.69 at Circle K, $7,138 East U.S. Highway 60 in Gold Canyon, and $3.69 at Maverick, $6,940 South Kings Ranch Road in Gold Canyon. Fuel prices around Arizona range from Tucson, which is at $3.76, to Flagstaff at $4.35. The average for the Phoenix area is closer to Tucson's at $3.77 per gallon. AAA State Scottsdale is at $3.95, while Yuma is at $4.07. The AAA website shows some prices have continued to decline within the valley. The West Valley average dropped from about $3.80 on July to about $3.72 per gallon on July 9. According to GasBuddy.com, the cheapest non-club gas in the valley is in Apache Junction and in Northwest Phoenix. The Marathon and Shell at 1571 West Apache Trail and In the Zone at 28 North Signal Butte Road, both in Apache Junction, and the 76 and Shell at 3455 West Glendale Avenue in Phoenix were all at $3.29. Nationally, at the close of the July 8 formal trading session, West Texas Intermediate crude rose $3.08 to settle at $73.52 a barrel. The U.S. Energy Information Administration reports that crude oil inventories increased by 3 million barrels from the previous week. At 411.4 million barrels, U.S. crude oil inventories are about 6% below the five-year average for this time of year. Arizona is not among either the 10 most or least expensive states to buy gas in the U.S. The nation's top 10 most expensive gasoline markets are Hawaii, $5.46, California, $5.38, Washington, $4.99, Alaska, $4.69, Nevada, $4.55, Oregon, $4.53, New York, $4.06, Illinois, $4.05, Washington, D.C., $4.05, and Idaho, $3.99. That story was Where to Find Cheap Gas in Apache Junction and Gold Canyon. The next story, 70 closed home sales in June in Apache Junction, 3 in Gold Canyon. Home sales in the greater Phoenix housing market, including Apache Junction and Gold Canyon, continue to outperform national trends as prices remain steady, affordability improves, and buyer activity shows signs of stabilizing. In June, there were 70 closed sales in Apache Junction and 3 in Gold Canyon. The median sale price for Apache Junction was $426,247 in June, and for Gold Canyon was $499,000. According to data from Phoenix Realtors. Greater Phoenix more than doubled the national growth rate for single-family residential home sales in June compared to the same month last year. Closed sales rose 8.1% locally while increasing only 3.2% nationally, according to data from Phoenix Realtors. Comparing the first half of 2026 to 2025, closed deals rose 5.4%. At the same time, the median price of a single-family home essentially held steady at $485,000, ticking up just 0.2% from last year's $484,000. Phoenix's median single-family home price sits well above the national average of $429,300. There's a difference between how people believe the real estate market is moving and what the data is showing, said Sammy Glassman, board president of Phoenix Realtors. Home sales were very strong in June, and even the pending sales slight decline was significantly smaller than what we've seen in previous months. Phoenix Realtors has more than 10,000 members. It offers many resources, including a clearinghouse of up-to-date research, statistics, and data, as well as insights into marketplace trends, go to https://www.phoenixrealtors.com. That story was 70 closed home sales in June in Apache Junction, 3 in Gold Canyon. You're listening to East Valley News on Sun Sounds of Arizona. I'm your volunteer reader, Dan Kaplan, and today we're focusing on news from the towns of Mesa and Apache Junction. The next story, Apache Junction employees may attend annual Safety Road EO. Employees of the City of Apache Junction may be participating in Pinal County's annual Safety Road EO, where heavy equipment and machinery operators compete in skill-based challenges. The Apache Junction City Council is to vote on an intergovernmental agreement with Pinal County for the city's participation in the event during a 7 p.m. meeting Tuesday, June 21, in the Council Chambers, 300 East Superstition Boulevard. The cost to the city is $45 per participant, which includes breakfast and lunch and eligibility for event prizes, Spencer Sariger, Public Works Administrative Services Manager, said at the Council's July 7 work session. This regional event brings together lots of cities, towns, and counties to promote safety, training, and professional development for public works employees, he said. Some of the things that happen during this Safety Rodeo event, there's some friendly competitions that go on like backhoe operation, dump truck maneuvering, sign installation, loader operations. It also includes safety training, Sariger said. So our employees will be able to learn how to operate equipment more safely. There will be some professional development as well as networking with other neighboring agencies and sharing the best practices, he said. The 2026 event is to be held 12:15 to 2:15 p.m. November 19 at the Pinal County Fairgrounds and Event Center, 512 11 Mile Corner in Casa Grande. More than 300 competitors from around the state vied for the Top Gun Award at Pinal County's 32nd Annual Safety Rodeo in November 2025. Events included egg drop, backhoe, skid steer, vehicle backing, sign installation, hand truck, and pallet jack competitions, with the Top Gun Award going to Joshua McGinnis from the Arizona City Maintenance Yard. It states at https://www.pinal.gov/m/newsflash/home/detail/2101. That story was Apache Junction employees may attend annual safety rodeo. The next story, Superstition Mountain streamed live from Apache Junction Library. The Apache Junction Public Library is live streaming a high-definition view of the iconic Superstition Mountains, bringing the beauty of Apache Junction to viewers around the world. As one of four communities in Arizona selected to host an EarthCam, Apache Junction is part of the nationwide America 250 celebration, an initiative commemorating the 250th anniversary of the signing of the Declaration of Independence. The program invites communities across the country to share the view that best represents their hometown through a live EarthCam installation. The camera captures breathtaking sunrises, colorful sunsets, and the ever-changing landscape of the Sonoran Desert, allowing residents, visitors, and outdoor enthusiasts to experience one of Arizona's most recognizable landmarks in real time. Since launching, the camera has received more than 13,500 views from audiences around the globe, according to a release. EarthCam has live streams from some of the nation's most iconic destinations, including the Statue of Liberty, the Washington Monument, the Gateway Arch in St. Louis, Times Square, and hundreds of scenic locations across the U.S. Apache Junction's addition to this network helps showcase the community's natural beauty while inviting people everywhere to discover what makes our city unique, the release states. Watch the live stream and experience the Superstition Mountains anytime through the City of Apache Junction's EarthCam at https://www.earthcam.com/usa/arizona/apache/cam=Apache Junction. And that story was Superstition Mountains streamed live from Apache Junction Library. The next item, an opinion piece, called Protecting Your Health During Wildfire Season, What Arizonans Must Know, by Patricia Tan, MD. Patricia Tan, MD, is Chief Medical Officer for a Valley Healthcare provider. Wildfire season has arrived in Arizona and can change daily life quickly. Residents may face smoky skies, reduced air quality, and the possibility of evacuation during periods of elevated wildfire activity. While conditions may look different from one community to the next, smoke, poor air quality, and sudden changes in fire activity can affect residents well beyond areas closest to active flames. A shift in wind, several days of lingering smoke, or even a sudden evacuation order can affect anyone, but children, older adults, those who are pregnant, and those living with conditions such as asthma, COPD, heart disease, or diabetes may face added health concerns. While no one can predict exactly when or where a wildfire will occur, taking a few steps now can help people stay safer and better prepared. Whether they are currently experiencing a wildfire or smoke impacts or preparing for the possibility in the future. Preparation is most effective before smoke appears or conditions worsen. Taking time now to plan for poor air quality, medication needs, and possible care disruptions can help residents protect their health when wildfire conditions change, starting with these six steps. Protect your lungs from wildfire smoke. Wildfire smoke can irritate the eyes, nose, throat, and lungs, and it may worsen breathing or heart conditions. During smoky days, check your local air quality index using local news forecasts or airnow.gov to see whether air is rated from good to hazardous and help determine when it is safe to be outside. When air quality is poor, limit strenuous outdoor activity and keep windows and doors closed when advised to stay indoors. Use the right mask if you must go outside. If you must go outside in smoky conditions, a well-fitting N95 mask can help reduce smoke exposure. Because children may have difficulty getting a proper fit, the safer approach is to reduce their exposure whenever possible by keeping them indoors in cleaner air or relocating away from smoke when conditions become unsafe. Create cleaner air indoors. Keeping windows and doors closed can help limit outside air from entering. Consider using a portable air cleaner or a high-efficiency air filter if possible, and avoid activities that can worsen indoor air quality, such as smoking indoors, burning candles, or using fireplaces. Take extra precautions for people at higher risk. Some people are more likely to experience health problems from wildfire smoke, including children, older adults, pregnant people, and anyone with asthma, COPD, heart disease, diabetes, or chronic kidney disease. These individuals should talk with a healthcare provider before wildfire season or early in the season about how to adjust medications, inhalers, oxygen, activity levels, or evacuation plans if smoke becomes heavy. Seek medical help right away for chest pain, severe shortness of breath, confusion, fainting, symptoms that do not improve indoors, or any other emergency warning signs. Prepare for the realities of living in a higher-risk wildfire area. Build a household emergency kit with essentials such as water, non-perishable food, a flashlight, batteries, phone chargers, cash, personal hygiene items, and copies of important documents. Be sure those documents include health insurance cards, identification, description information, and contact details for healthcare providers. Pack health-related necessities as well, including prescription medications, over-the-counter medicines, eyeglasses or contact lenses, hearing aid batteries, and mobility aids. If someone in your household relies on refrigerated medication, oxygen, or a powered medical device, plan ahead by identifying backup power sources, transportation options, and accessible shelter locations. Know where to turn for care and emotional support. If wildfire smoke, evacuation, or other disruptions affect access to care, contact your health insurance provider to ask about early prescription refills, telehealth visits, replacement ID cards, access to network providers, and available support services. Wildfires and smoke events can also affect mental health, including anxiety, grief, and stress. So ask about behavioral health benefits, counseling services, crisis lines, and other emotional support resources that may help during and after a wildfire event. Wildfire preparedness is ultimately about protecting health before conditions become urgent. By planning for smoke, medications, medical equipment, and emotional support, Arizona residents can be better prepared to act quickly and care for themselves and their families when wildfire conditions affect the community. That story was Protecting Your Health During Wildfire Season, What Arizonans Must Know. The next story, four to vie for two seats on Apache Junction School Board. One incumbent will be joined by two former members and a newcomer in the election for two Apache Junction Unified School District Governing Board seats at the November 3 general election. Gail Ross is not running for re-election. Filing the 246 minimum number of signatures required to run for Apache Junction Unified School District Number 43 Governing Board were Board President Dina Kimball, former board members Gilbert Cancio and Chelsea Connolly, and newcomer Sharon Williams. AJUSD has three elementary schools, a K-5 school designed to provide students with a traditional liberal arts education, a junior high school, and a high school. The district boundaries run from Meridian Road on the west to the town of Queen Valley on the east, and from the Goldfield Mountains to the north, south into the Santan Corridor. Communities served include Apache Junction, Gold Canyon, Peralta Trail, Queen Valley, and unincorporated Pinal County land in between. That story was four to vie for two seats on Apache Junction School Board. The next story, do staycation rates at Valley Resorts tempt you? The price of everything seems to be up. Gasoline and airfares are rising. Lodging and dining out have become pricey. Many Valley Resorts, hoping to generate out-of-season revenue, have created summer staycation packages and deals for Valley residents. Do you plan to take advantage of them and vacation at a five-star resort close to home? Tell us what you think. Email your comments with name, address, and phone number to azopinions@iniusa.org, submit them at yourvalley.net/letters, or click on the Add Your Comment link below. Read our civility guidelines and take the civility pledge at yourvalley.net/civility-checklist. That story was, do staycation rates at Valley Resorts tempt you? This has been East Valley News covering Mesa and Apache Junction. Remember that if you miss a program, you can get it on demand at sunsounds.org. Audio on demand. You can also take SunSounds with you by getting our streaming and on-demand services on our SunSounds of Arizona app for Apple and Android phones. And you can hear SunSounds on your Echo Dot or smart home device. Now stay tuned for more excellent content on SunSounds of Arizona.